يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين.
Believers, have fear of Allah and stand with those that are truthful.
ما كان لأهل المدينة ومن حولهم من الأعراب أن يتخلفوا عن رسول الله ولا يرغبوا بأنفسهم عن نفسه ذلك بأنهم لا يصيبهم ظمأ ولا نصب ولا مخمصة في سبيل الله ولا يطؤون موطئا يغيظ الكفار ولا ينالون من عدو نيلا إلا كتب لهم به عمل صالح إن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين.
It did not behove the people of Medina and the Bedouin Arabs around them that they should refrain from accompanying the Messenger of Allah and stay behind and prefer their own security to His. For whenever they suffer from thirst or weariness or hunger in the way of Allah, and whenever they tread a place which enrages the unbelievers, whenever anything of this comes to pass, a good deed is recorded in their favor. Allah does not cause the work of the doers of good to go to waste.
وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ نَفَقَةً صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً وَلَا يَقْطَعُونَ وَادِيًا إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
Likewise, each amount they spend, be it small or large, and each journey they undertake shall be recorded in their favor, so that Allah may bestow upon them reward for their good deeds.
وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً فلولا نفر من كل فرقة منهم طائفة ليتفقهوا في الدين ولينذروا قومهم إذا رجعوا إليهم لعلهم يحذرون.
It was not necessary for the believers to go forth all together to receive religious instruction. But why did not a party of them go forth that they may grow in religious understanding and that they may warn their people when they return to them so that they may avoid erroneous attitudes? For a better appreciation of the above verse, it should be read in conjunction with verse 97 above. The Bedouin Arabs surpass in unbelief and hypocrisy, and are most likely to be unaware of the limits prescribed by Allah in what He has revealed to His Messenger. This verse states that the desert Arabs were generally victims of hypocrisy because of their ignorance, that being cut off from the centers of knowledge and unable to enjoy the company of scholars, they were ignorant of the limits laid down by Islam. In the present verse, the Muslims are told what steps they should take so as to remedy the situation. The directive that is given here is not to allow the Bedouin to remain steeped in their age-old ignorance. Systematic efforts should be made to remove their ignorance and to develop an Islamic consciousness among them. This did not necessitate the migration en masse of the Bedouin to Medina in quest of knowledge. Rather, a few drawn from each desert village and tribe were required to visit such seats of learning as Mecca and Medina, to study Islam, and to try to create an awakening and consciousness among their people upon their return. It was an important and timely directive aimed at strengthening the Islamic movement. For in its earlier phase, when Islam was a new phenomenon and was pressing its way gradually through a hostile environment, there was no need for such a directive. In the early phase, anyone who embraced Islam did so after thoroughly understanding it and becoming fully convinced of its truth. However, when the Islamic movement gained momentum and established its hegemony on a piece of land, whole armies of people began entering its fold. Of these, only a few fully understood the implications and requirements of the Islamic faith. Many of them were prompted by the herd instinct, driven by the prevalent popular current towards Islam. This rapid spread of Islam was apparently a source of strength for Islam, since the number of its adherents swelled day by day. However, a great many of those converts to Islam, devoid as they were of true Islamic consciousness and understanding and of the sincere spirit to follow its moral standards, were not very helpful for the Islamic order. On the contrary, such a development was harmful, as became evident during the preparations for the expedition to Tabuk. The moment when the Islamic movement spread at such a pace was chosen by God to issue directives that would assist its consolidation as well. The way forward lay in educating and training people drawn from every section of the population, so that on their return they may, in turn, educate and train their own people. If this could be done, it would ensure that Islamic consciousness and knowledge of Islamic injunctions would spread on a wide scale among the Muslims. A clarification in this connection seems necessary. The directive laid down in the verse does not simply aim at spreading literacy, at developing the capacity to read books. The verse rather enunciates the purpose to be promoting an understanding of Islam to the extent whereby people eschew an un-Islamic attitudes of life. This is the aim of education which God has laid down for Muslims for all times to come. This aim should serve as the criterion of success or failure of every educational effort that the Muslims may ever make. This does not mean that Islam is concerned with spreading literacy or developing basic educational skills or imparting worldly knowledge. What we wish to emphasize is that the distinctive educational objective of Islam is to impart an education that develops among Muslims a profound understanding of Islam. Even if all Muslims become highly educated, and each of them attains the heights of scientific achievement as those of Einstein and Freud, such an education would be a curse according to Islam if it neither promotes among the Muslims a good understanding of Islam, nor helps them refrain from un-Islamic attitudes. The actual words used in the verse are also quite significant. لِيَتَفَكَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Unfortunately, in the later period of Muslim history, the purpose of the verse was misconceived, and the effects of this misconception continue to vitiate the system of religious education, nay, the very religious life of the Muslims. To reiterate and clarify, the purpose of education as laid down in the verse is to develop an understanding of Islam, to gain insight into its system, its nature and spirit, to develop mental attitudes and practical conducts which are in consonance with the spirit of Islam. Unfortunately, a serious misconception has found its way into the Muslim society. The Muslims at some stage in their history became convinced that the purpose of the verse was to encourage them to learn fiqh, jurisprudence, which is the root word used in the present verse and signifies understanding. Now, jurisprudence gradually developed into a branch of knowledge and was called fiqh. It concerned itself with the external and formal rules of human conduct, without necessarily being concerned with their spirit and purpose. This concern with the formal rules of external behavior should have formed only a part of the Muslim's intellectual activity, but instead it became an all-absorbing preoccupation. It would need volumes to speak of the harm done to Islam and Muslims by this intellectual deviation. Suffice it to say here that this misconception made the Muslims focus all their attention on the skeleton of Islam, as distinct from its spirit. This also bred a soulless religious formalism which was regarded as the zenith of Muslim religious life.